Morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. This week I had spring break, Justina, and so did a whole lot of nothing, which was the plan, orchestrated, and applied perfectly. It was also my father's birthday this week. And you know, I've been dealing with this isn't even the sermon, Ash. This is just gravy, Kathleen. You get this for free. This is like the bread they bring at the beginning. Just have some, enjoy it, and then. But you know, I don't have a whole outline of what I'd like to say, but things that occur to me throughout the week, and one of the things that was occurring to me was fear and how the devil uses it. When I was thinking about my father and, you know, Darcy and Dad's pictures are right there, the devil tries to use fear to scare me. And so when I come up here, sometimes I feel afraid of what people might think. Afraid of, Dad had big shoes, both physically and metaphorically, long, skinny ski feet. Afraid that I won't measure up. But that's the power of the helper, right? And when I come here and I see your kind faces, it helps me, it gives me strength. And it echoes what I'm hearing from the Holy Spirit. If you have integrity and a humble heart, Gabriel, it'll come through. So I just appreciate that. And thank you for coming here and giving me the courage to soldier on. I'll get more to that later, but I want to talk about history like I like to do. And when we were talking about what book we were going to read, are we going to start back from Matthew or continue into Acts, that was a question, right? Dad used to give both barrels to everybody as soon as they come in. Kapoof! Just blow everybody's heads off immediately, first day in. And so I was struggling with the idea of Acts because I got an axe to grind with Paul on some things. And I believe that a lot of how the church has grown over the years has had some problems. You see, in the first chapter of Acts, they got to find a new guy to replace Judas. I had spoken about, historians and archaeologists, where Judas goes to hang himself, allegedly, by the plots of Caiaphas, the high priest, right? Because they have all these rules about handling the dead, and that's the Passover and all of that. But it's important for the people who were compiling the scriptures to have this number 12. Both because there is this idea of numbers, that they, right? He appears for 40 days, right? He fasts for 40. There's a flood for 40 days, right? These are not coincidence. But also because in the establishment of the church, the proto-Christians, as we have come to call them, before Constantine and the Council of Nicaea, there's all kinds of different Christians who believe all kinds of different crazy stuff, right? And none of them can agree on anything. They're arguing constantly, not only about the nature of Jesus Christ, the nature of salvation, who can be saved, right? As we continue on in Acts, they'll talk about, like, do all Gentiles have to be circumcised? Because that's going to be a tough sell. That's going to be a real tough sell. Jesus loves you. Come over here. I got a knife. So they're trying to hammer out the details of what should be proper Orthodox doctrine. And there are different camps. People who think Peter is the guy, right? He's the guy who loved, or John is the guy who loved it, James, or whomever, right? All of these different gospels and pseudonyms. Nom de plume, as they say. And so they kind of have to get their ducks in a row. Who has authority to discuss the scripture? Who has the authority to dispense salvation? Well, the early church leaders have a pretty rational way of thinking, right? Well, Jesus is the head, right? And he chose 12 guys. He called them out personally, right? I saw you under the tree before you even, right? He calls these 12. They follow him around. They're the ones given the names, right? So it would follow that after Jesus, since he's gone, that the apostles would then have the power to say what happened, right? But then they all die. Who then has the authority? Well, the church leaders come up with two ideas. Number one is they call it apostolic authority. As Paul and the rest of the apostles are setting up churches around the Mediterranean, they establish leaders. Those leaders become bishops, right? And those leaders get their authority from the apostles, right? Jesus chose the apostles choose the bishops tell the people. So that's how it goes. But what if two bishops have disagreement about what you can do? Now you need a head honcho. And as we see in the scriptures, Peter is usually the main guy, diving into the water, right? He's denying people, cutting people's ears off. He's all over the place. So they say it would stand to reason, Peter, Jesus says, blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and bone has not revealed this to you, when he says, thou art the Christ, and I will call you Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Well, right there you have it. So they try and find the place that Peter is buried, and they build St. Peter's Cathedral. Feels a little bit literal to me, but all right, I can go with it. And they use the idea of the Petrine theory, the idea that Peter is the head of the church, ergo, the bishop of Rome, who Peter was, should be the head of the church. And that's how you get the Pope. The problem is, now we have to do some retconning. That's what they call it in like sci-fi and anime. If you've like done all of these stuff with Star Wars and all the Jedi were killed, and then you want to write a new book about Star Wars, you'd be like, oh, not all the Jedi were killed. There's this one guy who survived. You retconned. You fixed the little thing. And so they have to come up with these, right, when Jesus is on the cross and he's with, and he's dying, and it says Mary was there with his beloved disciple. They don't name that person, right? Which allows them, insert person you want, Peter in this case, or James, John, whoever it is. And so now we have 12. We're back up, we're fully staffed, and we can move forward with building the church. You know, I have, when I was a young man, I had a crisis of faith. Crises of faith might be more accurate. And that was because I judged the church and the truth of the gospel by the people who claimed to be Christians. And they're just regular people. Just like me. Just like the people I was working out Trader Joe's with. And I thought, but hold on. If they're no different, then how come they get to go to heaven forever, and this poor dude who's gay has got to burn? That seems unfair. And when I found inconsistencies, I threw the whole thing out. The baby out with the bathwater, as it were. Because the devil had used shortcomings in all of us. But the fear that was in me, the fear about, what if they're wrong, Gabe? What if they're wrong? What if they're wrong and you die and nothing happens? You just get thrown in the dirt. What if they're wrong and you've been missing out. Every Sunday, you get up and go to church like a good boy. Look at Chris Hamrick. He's not going to church. He's playing Metroid. The fear of missing out. The kids call it FOMO, Steve. The fear of missing out. The fear of the meaningless of church. And so in my arrogance, I decided it's all nothing. He used the fear to cause me pain. To mask the fear, since I didn't have any answer, I used arrogance. Right? Any of you guys know any young people who think they know everything? Right? I don't need any of this. And I would sit in the back. I still came to church because, you know, I lived in the back house. My dad was pastor. And I would smugly sit. Oh, here we go again with this. I got it all figured out. Poor guy. He's been spending his whole life doing this. I got it all figured out. The arrogance was the fear was always there, bubbling under the surface. I had to find a way to cover it. I had to find a cope with it. When the arrogance didn't work, I would use alcohol or drugs or anything to calm that voice that was terrifying me. The good tree only produces good fruit. The bad tree only produces bad fruit. Fear is a bad fruit. So anytime we feel it, we know that's the enemy. And Christians feel that fear too. That's why if you question any aspect of traditional dogma, they will come at you. Because they're afraid. Because if there's a chink in the armor, then what if? What if? But Jesus didn't die on the cross so that I could have a book. He died on the cross so that I could have a helper. I don't know about you, but fear comes for me in the middle of the night. I'm not married at the moment. And so sometimes I'm asleep and I wake up and I start to feel that fear. And I used to wake up Patti or Marcel. Wake up! I'm afraid. Make me feel better. Right? But there's nobody there. But that's the thing that I had been missing my entire life. There was something there. There was the helper. As soon as I could humble myself, you don't know everything, Gabe. In fact, you know very little for all of your trivia questions. When I could slow my breathing, when I could actually humble myself and pray to the Lord, He helps me with my fear. What will they say, Gabriel, when they find out that you're up there preaching? He helps me. He says it doesn't matter. If you have a pure heart, people will sense it. What's going to happen to my children? Love them. Guide them. Some take circuitous paths. What's going to happen to the church? When will I get to see my loved ones again? The helper helps me. Because it's of the good tree. So the good fruit is peace. The good fruit is hope, it's understanding, it's all of the things that I need. The problem is that the assault is relentless. It's fear at night, it's irritation in the morning, it's lust in the afternoon, brother, my schedule is packed. But so I have to keep after it. Keep after it constantly. Keep after it. You know, my brother and I, think a lot similarly in a lot of ways, and we talk about, like, you know, consciousness and bringing your mind to focus on things instead of just, like, idly thinking about nothing. And I remember when they were saying, like, you got to constantly be focused. And for a person who's scatterbrained like me, that's, like, you know, impossible. And I used to think of the futility of it. How can one stay focused constantly when I've got this? You can't stay focused continually, but the more you work at it, the better you get. The more that you practice it, the better you get. You don't become Michael Jordan in 180s, you know, montage, paint the house and fix the church in one. It takes work over time, but the more I focus on it, the better I get. The more I focus on it, the more that I receive. The more I put in, the more I get out. By your standard of measure, it will be measured back. Or as Dad used to say, measured. Measured treasure. By your standard of measure, it will be measured back. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. The more that I put in, the more that I get out. But the more that I behave contrary to the laws of the good fruit, it just all falls apart. And so I know the laws of the good tree by praying and practicing and by what I reap in return. If I behave in a way that causes bad things to happen, then I know that thing is bad. Going to the School of Hard Knocks, Steve. I took night classes. The helper helps, but only in as much as we allow him to help. If I sit in my fear and do nothing, then I allow myself to be taken. If I behave as I've always behaved and then throw my hands up, like, what the heck? If you say a sinner's prayer with Miss Bradshaw when you're in kindergarten and then drink and do drugs and say, well, I don't know why my life hasn't gotten any better. It's because you're not putting in the work, Gabriel. The work. The work of praying and listening to the helper. Aiden came last week, Kendra. The church burst into flames, but Jed and I put it out. Just joking. He's not here, I still can't help. I gotta make jokes. I just love him so much. And I could tell he was listening to me. It's funny, Steve, because normally if I try and tell him something, he just can't listen. As soon as I open my mouth, it's like I'm speaking in Mandarin, and he just can't hear it. Right? Grandma says the same thing. He's like, yeah, you're right. I should study and go to school. That's what I've been saying. But he was sitting right there, and he was nodding his handsome head. And I was like, yes. That's right. And afterwards, he came to me and he said, Dad, that was really good. I said, thanks, man. Appreciate that. He's like, I'm going to come to church more often. He's like, thanks, dude. I appreciate that. You may notice that he's not there. Calling shots on this guy. He may come back next week and I'm sure I will give him a hard time. But if you just come once, and be like, yeah, man, that's good. And then go back and play video games and continue behaving the same way you were. then there you shall remain. A body at rest will remain at rest unless acted upon by an outside force. It's a used metaphor, but you know what I'm saying, Doug. Only in as much as I put in, I get out. So when the fear grips me, I cannot hide from it. I cannot numb it. I cannot ignore it. I must address it. What will they say, Gabe? I must live my life in a way that commands respect. I must live my... That's through humility and hard work. And then the fear will fade away. Whatever it is, I don't know what... Everybody's got their own hang-ups. Everybody's got their own... I'm not somebody who struggles with eating too much. I eat too much sugar. But that's not my struggle. That may be something for someone else. Fear is a huge deal for me. That may not bother you at all. But whatever it is, whatever your thing is, whatever your weaknesses are, be sure that the devil is faithful to attack you there. If you are Achilles, wear a boot. You have to address the problem. So my fear has to be faced head on. Like I said, Judd bought pictures, framed them, bought frames and put pictures of Darcy and Dad in them, and I put them right in the wall. And I noticed that I would not look at them. I don't know how long I had been avoiding it, but I wasn't looking at them. Because the pain of their loss and the fear that I would never see them again, it hurt me. That still hurts me. That's where I need the help. On Dad's birthday, that's when I need the help. I need the help. So I pray about it. And the Holy Spirit, have you texted your mother? No, I haven't. Text your mother. Hey, Mom. I love you. You're the best mother and grandmother. This could be a subjective opinion, but it just so happened that she was leaving the cemetery. The helper helps me, and I help. It's not a book. The book has wisdom and insight. But I need the help. When I'm afraid at night, I need that help. The pain of loss, I need that help. The frustration with idle children. If idle hands are the devil's workshop, my kids are like working on overtime, y'all. I love them dearly. But I need that help with them because I get frustrated and then I'm just like, I can't even communicate to them without... being sarcastic, surprise. I need that help, that reminder. Jesus, please help me. He's a good boy. Help me to communicate that I love him. Maybe you shouldn't say everything sarcastically, Gabe. Oh, you think that would help? Dang it. Dang. I need that help. I gotta have it. And that's why he died. to save those people, to go to heaven and save me. 2,000 years later, a dummy in a plaid shirt to save me. But I had got it twisted in my mind. Oh, look at those people. And I was shutting myself off from the very thing that I needed desperately. The help. Be encouraged this week. When you feel afraid, there is help. Be encouraged this week. When you feel attacked, there is help. Be encouraged this week. Remind yourself. Take a step back. Listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Are you constantly being sarcastic? Maybe try a different tactic. Are you punching your car steering wheel? Maybe try a different tactic. Do you assume that you know everything? Maybe try a different tactic. It's good. It is good. It is good. It's good because He's good. It's good because He's good. Not the book, not the building, not the people, although they can be good too. But He is the one who is good. And the more that we listen to Him, it builds you up. I can feel it. When I come into this room and I look at your kind faces, I can feel it. When I'm alone in my room and the devil is lying to me, I cannot feel it. And that's the most important time to look for it. The Helper helps. I thank you so much. He's good, and we are doing a good thing. Humble hearts and integrity. That's all you can have. Be blessed this week. Be encouraged this week. Be fortified this week. Be courageous this week. The devil cannot have us. Bow your heads and I'll close in prayer. Lord, thank you for another week. Thank you for this place. Thank you for these people. Thank you for this time. Help us this week, Lord. You know how. You know where. Help remind us to look for you. Help remind us to humble ourselves. Give us opportunities. Give us opportunities, Lord, to connect. To connect with people, to communicate. Help us to hear what you would have us do. Give us the wisdom and discernment to know what that is, and give us the courage and the energy to do that work. The devil wants to beat us down, keep us down, but we got help. We got help. Thank you, Lord. Bind him from us. Destroy every plan of attack. Help us. Encourage us and strengthen us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.